Jesus didn't come to save the Jews from Rome. He didn't come to set up a new government. He didn't come to set up a utopic society here on earth. He came to save us from our sins.
This is season 11 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an Orthodox Wesleyan point of view. God's holy word is essential to our teaching, so let's get into God's word right now.
Now please, you may be seated. This reading of the Passion is rather lengthy today. We're going to be hearing from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the Liturgy of the Passion, and it is Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 39. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto a place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I would also invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, which in the Pew Bible is found on page 576 of the Old Testament. Psalm 118 is what we're going to be looking at today. This week we are bringing to a close our study of the Psalms during the season of Lent. We've been looking at the Psalms as songs and prayers. They are songs of repentance, prayers for deliverance, cries for help. They testify to the greatness of God, and they direct us to seek God in His holy word. They are often prophetic. And today we see some evidence of the prophetic vision of David as he sings of God's deliverance for himself, looking forward to this moment in the life of Christ, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We enter into Holy Week with a song of victory. This week, we will witness the betrayal, passion, death, and burial of Christ. And next week, we will once again sing songs of triumphs as Jesus rises from the grave. And so, Psalm 118, let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath shewed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross. Grant that we may share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and ever. Amen. Today we read the account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and it's one that we are all very familiar with. And as I often say, if we're not careful, we can gloss over some of the important details. One of the most powerful details recorded for us is what the people were saying as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, what they were crying out. They were crying, "Hosanna!" And when I was growing up, I always thought that it was a cry of praise. Hosanna, like praise Jesus, Hosanna. But the word is actually a compound word. In the Hebrew, it's yasa'ana, yasa'ana, which means save now, yasa. I beseech you, or I pray, ana, yasa'ana, save now, I beseech you. That's the exact phrase that we see here in Psalm 118. It says, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And it is that word, yasa'ana, or as it is rendered in the Greek, Hosanna. And so that is how this psalm today is linked to the gospel account. Now, this psalm is a song of victory and deliverance after hardship. It concludes a section of the Psalms, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. These six psalms are traditionally used for the Passover remembrance. Now, the Passover commemorates God's deliverance of the Israelites from bondage in Egypt and victory over the Egyptian army. We read about this in the book of Exodus, right? So God comes down, he calls on Moses to go before the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Because Pharaoh had put the Hebrews to hard bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. And so God was going to deliver them out of slavery because he had heard their cry. And so with signs and wonders, God led the people out of bondage in slavery in Egypt, and he brought them to the promised land. And so the Passover, which is a commemoration every single year, happens on the same day of the Jewish calendar. It's always on the 14th day of the first month, which is Adar. And so on the 14th day is the preparation, and then on the 15th day is their celebration, their sacrifice, and they would eat the Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb, okay? Well, Jesus became for us the Passover lamb, and so that's why these two accounts are so intricately locked together. Both the idea of the Passover, Christ became for us the ultimate Passover. And he became for us the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we see some of this psalm. Again, this psalm was the last song in this group that was made to commemorate the Passover. And so when we look at this text, this is what we see. First of all, verses 1 through 4 are the opening verses. They're sort of a call and response, kind of like what we do with our call to worship, where the leader would say something and then the congregation would respond. And each verse calls on a different group to respond to the call. So it says in the very beginning, so the leader would say, oh, give thanks, and he's talking to the congregation, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for because his mercy endureth forever. That's the call. And then he says, let Israel now say. So he's calling on all those who are descendants of Abraham by way of Jacob. Jacob was called Israel. He had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who descended from those 12 sons became the nation of Israel. Okay? And can trace their heritage back to Jacob even to this day. So let Israel, let the descendants of Jacob now say, and they would respond, his mercy endures forever. His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say. Now the house of Aaron was the brother of Moses, and he was designated as the first high priest. So all of the descendants of Aaron become priests. They serve in the temple. So in the beginning, he says, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron, now let the priests, not just the congregation, but also the clergy, let them now say that his mercy endureth forever. And in case they missed anybody, let them now that fear the Lord, because it wasn't just the Jews, it wasn't just the descendants of Abraham, but there were other people who were being grafted into the tree of Israel by way of their faith in God. So now, let them that now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. And by the way, that word mercy is also rendered as loving kindness or steadfast love. It's that Hebrew word chesed. It's the word that is rendered in the Greek as agape. It's God's perfect and giving and sacrificial love, his unconditional love for those that he has made in his own image, his chesed, his mercy or his steadfast love. Okay, so verse 5 through 7. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. So the Hebrew slaves called out to God in their affliction in Egypt, and he responded. He heard and he responded mightily. And so in Exodus chapter 3, God tells Moses, now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. So he hears their prayers, he sees their oppression, he comes to deliver them. Now these words, by the way, I called upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. These are echoed also in two other places in Scripture. First of all, in Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 2. After he had been swallowed by the fish, he starts to pray to God and he says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried and you heard my voice. This psalm was written long before Jonah ever lived. And so this is probably what he was alluding to when he said this. I called upon the Lord in my distress and the Lord answered me. Also, David in his Psalm 18. Now, Psalm 18, we also read, this is a beautiful, sweeping, epic psalm that David gives at the end of his life. And basically it sums up this, that David had put all of his trust in God for deliverance, and God delivered him. Now, David wasn't perfect. He, by a long shot, he had his missteps. He definitely sinned. We see that in the time with Bathsheba, and we also see that in a census that he took. But he put his trust in the Lord. He always put his trust in the Lord. Even when Saul, the king, was persecuting him and pursuing him, he would not raise his hand to Saul because he called him the Lord's anointed. He was putting his trust in God. And he was saying, even when Absalom, his own son, was trying to kill him and leading armies against him, he was saying, if this is God's will, then so be it. But if not, then God will deliver me. He put his trust in God. When he stood facing against Goliath, the giant, He didn't say, you know, by my strength, I'm going to kill this giant. No, what he said was, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and he will deliver me this day. You know, and that's what David was all about. And so this Psalm 18, okay, is a psalm that David gives us that sums up his life and his dependence upon God. And he said in Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. So the Hebrew slaves cry out to God, and he responded. Verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I really wish that we could get signs made up like that and stick them on our lawns instead of all these political signs. Because let me tell you something. People are not going to save us. People are not going to save us. We can vote for whoever we want. Nobody's going to save us. Once they get into office, what do? They try to stay in office. That's it. That's their whole purpose, right? Get in office, stay in office. Keep getting that paycheck from the government, right? So we don't put our trust in people. We put our trust in God. So it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. God's steadfast love, his loving kindness is eternal and infinite. God is not like men who are ever changing. He is constant and trustworthy. And so in Malachi 3 and verse 6, he assures the people of Israel, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed, because they had sinned against him. They broke their part of the covenant, but the covenant that he made with them is eternal. It's dependent upon him. He's infinite. He's eternal, and it cannot be broken on his side. Okay, so verse 10. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of the thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. So you hear this refrain three times. In the name of the Lord I will destroy them. He hasn't destroyed them yet, but he's trusting that they will be destroyed. And so this passage is describing the Egyptian army surrounding the fleeing Israelites by the Red Sea. Remember, so they're up at the Red Sea, and Egypt says, oh, they're so dumb. Why did they do that? Let's go after them with all our chariots and just wipe them all out, right? Well, God did that for a purpose. And when the Egyptian army came to the Israelites, they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here just to die? But then God stood as a pillar of fire between the Egyptian army and the Israelites. And he kept the Egyptian army at bay. And what did Moses say? Ooh. Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Get this, the Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. And what did he do? He parted the Red Sea. We read in the Bible that the water stood like a wall on either side of them. They walked through on dry ground, and they got to the other side. And then the fire dissipated. The Egyptian army comes into the gap and they go charging into this ocean. Really dumb. And the ocean closes over top of them, wipes them all out. And the Israelites didn't even lift a finger. It all came from God. And that's what we're seeing here. They compass me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. And so these people are singing praises to God as he has delivered them from this Egyptian army. At verse 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. So God, he maintains a remnant. He preserves his people so that they might give him glory. And so, again, back to Psalm 18, David's psalm at the end of his life. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So there's thankfulness, there's joy. In verse 19 it says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. So the thankfulness is given to God so that for his deliverance. There is joy and celebration for those who have been rescued by God. Again, Psalm 18, David writes, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name. Okay, verse 22. The stone which, I don't mean to get nerdy about like certain Bible verses, but there are some that just really grab me. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. I want you to take a look at your Bible. Look at where Psalm 118 is. It's right smack dab in the middle of the Bible. Okay? Now, Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible, two verses. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, and sandwiched in between those, the shortest chapter and the longest chapter is this chapter right here, Psalm 118. If you're nerdy like me, you can count all the verses in the Bible and count them up and divide them by two, and you find that this verse right here, verse 22, is the exact middle of our Christian Bible. The stone which the builders refused is the headstone of the corner. He's the cornerstone. The stone that the builders refused is the cornerstone. And this is a verse that Christ himself pointed to in order to say who he was, who he is. The foundation upon which God has built the nation of Israel is not one that men would have chosen. God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the strong. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And let me tell you, Moses was a weak vessel, okay? But God used him mightily to deliver the people. And so Jesus points to this verse and says, this is me. He says in Mark chapter 12, have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected, see, the religious people of his time rejected Jesus. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. What's the cornerstone? The cornerstone is the first stone that is laid when you're building a foundation, and everything in that building is aligned to that cornerstone. So if that cornerstone is out of kilter, any direction, then the whole building is off. Christ is our sure cornerstone. He is perfectly oriented to God, and when we orient ourselves to him as the church, then we too are oriented to God. So the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. I love this verse too, verse 24. You've probably heard it. You probably sang it as a child. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I love that hymn. Joan very graciously played it for us for our offertory over at Ebenezer, and I'm sure she'd probably do it again. But it's no pressure. But it's a great song. This is the day. Can you imagine just waking up every single day, and as soon as your eyes open up, you say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." What an amazing way that would be to start every day. Okay, verse 25. Here's where we see exactly what the people were saying in Jerusalem as he was coming in, as Jesus was coming in, riding on a donkey. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Save now, I beseech thee." Again, the Hebrew is Yosahana. Yosahana, okay? And the Greek, they transliterated it to Hosanna. Hosanna. It means save us. Save us now. Save now. And the people wanted to be saved. They wanted to be saved by their Roman oppressors, from their Roman oppressors. But Jesus didn't come to save the Jews from Rome. He didn't come to set up a new government. He didn't come to set up a utopic society here on earth. He came to establish the kingdom of God. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so he didn't come here to make us into whatever political group that you might align yourself with. Yes, it's fine. You can be that. But that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to save us from our sins, to rescue us from slavery to sin and death. And that's what he came to do. So... God is the Lord, verse 27, God is the Lord which hath shewed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Now listen, verses 27 and 28, you have two different people responding. First, it's the group, the collect. God is the Lord which hath shewed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. That's the group responding. Then it becomes personal. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. God is personal to each and every one of us, but he is also to be praised collectively. That's why we gather as the body of Christ. That's why we gather in church to worship God. But we also worship him individually as well, both. And then finally this, verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth. So we end the way we began. Give praise to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His mercy endures forever. It ends with the same refrain as the beginning, acknowledging God's steadfast love, his loving kindness, his mercy, his chesed. So when we're in trouble, when our lives are spinning out of control, do we, like the faithful Hebrews, call out to God for deliverance? Do we cry out to him for victory? And when he gives it, do we give him thanks? Psalm 118 shows how the nation of Israel cried out to God to deliver them and then praised him for the victory that he gave them. This Passover victory would be celebrated again by Jesus and his disciples in the upper room, before Jesus' betrayal and death on the cross. And yet, when everything seemed bleakest, when the dark of night gave way to the light of Easter morning, when the stone rolled away, God delivered us from bondage to sin and death and brought us into the promised land, where he gave us life everlasting in Jesus' name. Friends, let us praise God this week and give him thanks for the deliverance he has given to us. In this holy week, let us gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, adopted into the family of God, and praise our God, our good Father, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. O God, you are mighty to save, and you have rescued us from slavery to sin and death by sending forth your own Son to die the death that we deserve, and on the third day you raised him from the dead. We praise you in this moment with our very lives, and we sing your praises to the highest heaven, for you are worthy to be praised. Hear us now as we give thanks for your steadfast love. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and send us from this place that we may praise you with our lives and testify to your steadfast love, that others may come to know your saving grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope that this teaching has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. God has also blessed me by calling me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown. If you live in the area and don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings for Bible-based and God-honoring worship. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Sunday school available and Bible study during the week. Now, this podcast is self-funded and we never ask for donations. It reaches people all around the world, but it could reach more people if you do a couple of things, and it won't cost you a penny. First, subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel. Leave a comment and also like the podcast. That puts the podcast in front of more people so that the gospel may reach them as well. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will listen to Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.